Well, good morning again. And as she said, I thank her for praying specifically for the Holy Spirit to be with me as I deliver a message. And as I have said, I don't do this often, every now and then, but it's always when God has impressed on me something that I need to do, that I need to be aware of, that I need to be more cautious of on that. So I ask for your prayers as I am delivering this message. Now, you may wonder, because of the scripture lessons that were read, that that's where my sermon is coming from, but it's not. Just wanted to read those scriptures to verify how many of you believe that the Bible is the word of God and that it's truth. Amen. And I just wanted to read those scriptures to show you how God has worked in the past in the lives of people, and Moses, Jeremiah, and Paul. Each of them had a different experience, but each was willing to go and to do what the Lord had for them to do. I'm going to pray because I always like to give God the glory. Father in heaven, as we come to break the bread of life, Lord, as we come to see what it is that you would have us to do with our spiritual gifts that you have given to us, I ask, O Lord, that you let me die to self and Christ live in me. In his name I pray. Amen. Okay. In the world, when we go to apply for a job, we usually read the job descriptions and see what the qualifications are, right? We do that because we want to know if we have the skills to do the job that we're applying for. Well, in the Christian world, God gives the criteria for his service, and then he empowers us through the Holy Spirit to accomplish the tasks that he has for us to do. I would like for Henry to read Matthew 7 and 11 for me, please. And Claudette is going to read James 1:17.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom no variableness, neither shadow.
Okay, so from those two scriptures, we find out that God is willing to give us gifts. He also gives us talents. And there's a difference between one's talent and one's spiritual gifts. Now, talents are those natural inclinations or skills that one has that they can do something well without much effort. You know, some people have the talent to sing, you know. Some people are very encouraging. But spiritual gifts are endowments given by the Holy Spirit to fulfill the mission of his church. Sometimes they complement each other. Sometimes your talent and your spiritual gift, they complement each other. But sometimes they are just as wide as it is, as from the north is from the south. They can be diametrically opposite. But that is God's prerogative to do that, isn't it? So my question to you is, what's your spiritual job description? Are you functioning in the ministry corresponding to the spiritual gift or gifts that God has given you? Because he has given more than one gift to some people. Well, in order for us to answer that question, let us go to the Word of God to find out what these gifts of the Holy Spirit are. We will be reading, and not in its entirety, from the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And I want you to notice the sequence of how Paul does this. In order for us to receive spiritual gifts, he says, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your spirit, the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So what we find here is Paul is telling us what we are to do in order to prepare ourselves to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then, as he does that, he lists some of them, these gifts that are found in verses 6 and 8. And these gifts are the gift of prophecy. It says, when you prophesy, do it into the proportion of faith that God has given you. And you know, as I was reading that, and sometimes I think, God has extended to us that of faith because he tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. The other one he said is serving. He said, if I give you the spirit of service, let you serve, putting others before yourself. In other words, we are to emulate Jesus. We are to do as he did. Then there's the gift of teaching. That is that he gave to those who are able to teach, to instruct, to direct, to make, and I'll say students, or make individuals see things clearly in God's word. And I always like this because I have a friend who is encouraging. If he gives to you the gift of encouraging, then let him give support. Let him give hope. Let him give a kind word. And most of all, in encouraging, point them to the Savior. Then there is a gift of contributing to the needs of others. If we're going to do that, we need to do it generously and without grumbling. To whom much is given, much is also expected. Then there's that of leadership, of government. It says, govern diligently. And you know, God never, when he tells us to do something, he always gives us, explains it in his word. And in Michael 6 and 8, he says, I have shown you, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before our God. And then if he gives you a spirit, have you had those that show mercy? Showing mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is not punishing one as they deserve to be punished, but extending grace as God has extended grace to us. And when we are to do it, we are to do it cheerfully. Have you told somebody, oh, I forgive you. Oh, I forgive you. But he's saying doing it cheerfully. And then he concludes in that. He says, let us love without hypocrisy. Let us abhor what is evil and cling to that which is good. In other words, here in Romans, Paul is telling us that we need to see others through Jesus' eyes and that we need to die to our selfishness and to live to Christ. Now, as we go on in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, Paul tells us that he does not want us to be ignorant concerning the spiritual gifts. So if you would turn to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and I will read verses 1 and then 4 through 7. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. In other words, the gift that he gives to us is not for us to selfishly cling to them and hold to them ourselves, but it is for us to use it for the benefit of all. And in verses 8 through 10, Paul lists 9 spiritual gifts that God is willing to give to us. The first is wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to use one's experience, one's knowledge, one's understanding to think and act in such a way that common sense prevails and that the outcome is beneficial and productive to all who are involved. Scripture says that wisdom begins and ends with the fear of the Lord. Now, this fear means a reverence for the Lord, that we recognize that he is sovereign and that we would give him that honor that is due him. The second one he said is that the gift of a spiritual gift one could have would be that of knowledge. That is an awareness or understanding of something which can be acquired through one's experience, perceiving, learning, or discovering. Knowledge is to know the righteousness of God. Then, as I mentioned before, that spiritual gift of faith. And it said, faith is to be sure of the things we hope for and certain of the things we cannot see. It is impossible to please God without faith. Then there is the gift of healing. That is the ability to heal diseases by the laying on of hands. And as we remember when Jesus sent his disciples out, you know, they came back, you know, giving praise to God for all of the diseases that they were able to heal and all of the demons they were able to cast out. And, you know, I think of Dr. Ben Carson. I think that God gave him that special gift in that medical field to be able to, in the pediatrics, to be able to separate twins and children who were born together. So God gives us the spiritual gifts that of healing. Then there's the gift of miraculous power. And this is where an individual is able to do something that they normally could not do, that it was beyond their power to do. And I know you've heard many stories about where a car may have turned over and a child may have still been in the car, and somehow this parent was able to lift this car up to save their children. So God does give miraculous powers in time of need. And then he says there is a spiritual gift of prophecy. Prophecy is receiving from God revelation to proclaim to others for edification, exhortation, and comfort to us. In the days of old, it was where they foretold what God foretold what was to happen. So that gift of prophecy is very important. Then to be able to distinguish or to discern spirits. Now we all know that there is a controversy going on in this world. We all know that there is a controversy between God and between Satan. Because Satan, once he was kicked out of heaven, he said that when he came to this earth, he was going to make all men worship him because he wanted to be above God. So he gives to certain people, and I don't know, and I can remember growing up in olden times, you know, the old people, you know, they would be able to say, they'd probably say, baby, you know, I don't think you need to be with that person, you know, because, you know, I don't think they have the right spirit that needs to be done. So God gives to individuals that gift to be able to distinguish that. And we should listen when we are in the presence, and I say especially of elders to do that, because that somehow that seems where it is. He also gives, and I'm going to put these two together, the speaking in different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. These are special gifts that he has given. On the day of Pentecost, what the tongues there was that it said that every man heard the gospel in his own language. And the Pharisees and the religious group, they were very surprised that these illiterate fishermen would be able to speak in different languages. But there again, that is the gift of the Spirit. God gets his word out where he needs it to be. And he can use those tongues, the different kinds of languages, to do that. And it says where tongues are being used, that it should never be used unless there's somebody that is able to interpret what is being said. That it, you know, it, because he says that how could it edify the church if nobody knows what you are saying? And then he concludes to say, but the one and the same Spirit works in all these spiritual gifts, distributing to each one individually as he wills. What we have to do is to be obedient and to use these gifts that God has given to us. And finally, if you will turn to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6, here Paul tells us why God bestows spiritual gifts upon us. And that is for the unity of the body, which is the church. It reads, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Here he goes to list what I call, and I couldn't find a better word, and I didn't call my sister this morning, Wilhelmina, to ask her for that. But here he lists five professions or careers that are needed to unify and strengthen the church. He said he called some to be apostles. And we know the apostles in old were, you know, the 12 disciples who became apostles. But an apostle is to preach, to be an ambassador for Christ, to witness to all the nations, to make disciples of all people for Jesus. And he gave some to be prophets. And prophets speak by divine inspiration the will of God about present and future, about present and future things as God has directed them to. Then he gave us the evangelists. This is the individual who converts others to the Christian faith by public preaching. And usually this individual goes from place to place. Then he gave us pastors. Pastors, that would be a minister that is in charge of a local church or a local congregation. He is the shepherd and the spiritual overseer of the congregation with the explicit duty to teach them to be servants of God. And then there are teachers, those individuals who can instruct and elaborate upon the spiritual truths in the smaller setting, which would be the local church. So what did God give us? Did he said to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ will be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, obtaining whole measures of the fullness of Christ. In other words, those gifts for the unity of the body is to teach us to be like Jesus and to be as one, just as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, working for the salvation of all mankind. So we see that we must prepare ourselves to receive these spiritual gifts. We must say, not I, but Christ lives in me. We must ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what our spiritual gifts are. And when you go home this evening or tomorrow, read those again and pray and meditate on those and say, Father, what is my spiritual gift that I can edify the church and glorify your name? We must use our spiritual gifts. You know, it does no good if he gives it to us. And I found this scripture in Romans, I think it's the 11th chapter, the 29th verse, that says that the gifts that God gives to us are irrevocable. That means when he gives them to us, he doesn't take them back. You know, you like sometimes you give somebody a gift and they don't, give me my gift back. He doesn't do that. But it is up to each and every one of us to use what he has given to us, to use it so that it can bring honor and glory to God. So what I've tried to share with you is to let each of you know that God has given you a spiritual gift. To some, he's given several, but that is his prerogative. That is his choice. You know, sometimes you say, and I have been guilty of this, and I wish I could do something like so-and-so, I wish I could. But God gave that gift to that individual, and he gave you a gift. Sometimes if we be praying, Lord, what is my gift, and still saying, wish I had somebody else's gift, you know. So we are to use what he gives us, no matter how small, because everything that comes from God is a good and it's a perfect gift. And so that it is used for the upbuilding of his kingdom. So as I said, I pray that you realize or that you begin to ponder and ask yourself the question, what is my spiritual job description? Let us pray. Father, we have heard from your word that you have given spiritual gifts to each and every one of us according to the way that you see fit. Help us, Lord, to pray, to meditate upon the spiritual gift that you have given to us, and that we would use it, that it would serve mankind, that it would glorify you, that it would be a light or a lamp to someone who is groping in darkness, Father. But more importantly, that it will help us to lead others to Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. Father, we thank you for being with us. We thank you for the covering blood of Jesus Christ, Father. We ask now, Lord, that you would be with us the rest of this day, and that we will begin to ponder what is our spiritual job description. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.